Hi, this is Kirk Konecki. I'm the CEO, Superintendent of Indian Hill, and we're here for our next Adult EduHero podcast, talking with our partners today. And today, we are blessed to have our primary school assistant principal, Andy Gruber, join us, and our flagship high school leader, Jeff D'Amadeo, here. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, really excited to be here.
This is an exciting time to have two leaders here. We're talking about a lot of interesting things on campus, K through 12. We're talking about holistic programming in things like career pathways, STEM, leadership. A lot of that is edu-speak to parents out there, right? So let's just try to be clear and simple about our language today. Jeff, when it comes to career pathways, right, that looks different for different kids at different levels, but what do you see us trying to do holistically for our community?
I think more than anything else, you have to think about opening the doors to opportunities. And these are not just opportunities that we're familiar with in our own history or our parents' history in terms of their progress to the school, but also understanding and connecting with people around us that are in these fields that kind of share some insight of not just what's out there right now for our students, but what's coming. And how do we prepare them for not just one thing, but for anything. But in addition to that, because the landscape continues to shift, and it is shifting ever so quickly because of technology such as AI and big tech, it is how do we stay ahead of the curve? And how do we stay ahead in the education of that curve so that not only are we learning about these opportunities for ourselves, but we're informing our staff about these are the things that is waiting for them. We get to inform our students. And ultimately, and sometimes most importantly, is also educating the parents of this is the world that is waiting for our students, and what are we doing in-house to kind of expand maybe some traditional models and opportunities and really start to push ourselves and be forward-looking so that any student is ready for anything that's going to be out there for them.
So future ready for anything is something a lot of parents can understand, Andy. But it can also be overwhelming, especially when they're coming through the door as a kindergarten parents, right? And they're just turning over their child for a few hours for the first time, right? And we see the nervous and the excitement and everything, but they still get it. We have a pretty savvy community, right? They get it. But how do you break down what Jeff was talking about in increments for a kindergartner or first grader, second grader? What are the things going on at the primary school that introduce some of these ideas?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of work, which is going to be really exciting by the time some of our youngest Braves get up to the, get to elementary, get to middle school, and eventually get to the high school where these experientships are happening. We're doing that with a lot of our STEM work. You know, recently STEM designated our partnership with OSLN, Ohio STEM Learning Network, building project-based learning experiences for our kids, where we are constantly bringing in experts. Oftentimes, those are parents. Sometimes they're representatives from our local universities, Green Acres. We recently partnered with Rumpke. So what can we do to bring in our local experts to really get students engaged with people in fields that they may have no idea they was even a potential career for them? So creating
exposure.
Those opportunities. Exposure,
and,
yes.
And exposure through people is obviously an important thing. It's a connection. It takes time and energy. I know both of you work on this. Jeff, you're a parent. You understand this too. You've got kids going through school, right? Sometimes people don't think about school administrators as human beings, but you got a family that's going through all this sure. Right now too. We all want these experiences for our kids, and then it seems like their lives are really full. They've got a lot of activities. So I think part of the idea behind your experienceship program is helping people have a great experience purposeful to them as an individual. Can you talk just a little bit about what does somebody get out of an experienceship for a parent that doesn't know what that is?
So the experienceship program was really built out of a concept for students to pursue passions and then connecting those passions with purpose. Now, the other day I heard this great phrase. It was one of our partners who came in for a partner breakfast, and the question that was asked was not, what do you want to be when you grow up, but what kind of quality of life do you want when you grow up? It's such a different mindset of then how do you approach experiences and opportunities. And the experienceship program is truly that. It is about opening the doors for our students to pursue passions. What are they curious about? What are those areas that right now in high school, let's say, they think they're curious about? And you have the opportunity to talk to students. So oftentimes they'll talk about, I want to go into finance, I want to go into science, I want to go into medicine, I want to go into industry. And so how do we listen to that and know that those are their curiosities, and then how do we create opportunities for them to actually experience that while they're with us? And what that requires is a few things. It requires support from a tremendous community. As Andy said, we're so blessed to be in a community where people support school. As you said, they're successful in their own way, and so they're also willing and excited to partner with us and create these opportunities for their children, whether their children are with me now or their children are with Andy right now. And so the idea is to truly learn by leaving the classroom. Now, I say that in a way to not dilute or diminish anything that happens within the walls.
Yeah.
But we know that when we think about applying what we've learned, there's no better application than a hands-on application. And if there's the ability to bring somebody in as a partner with students in-house, fantastic.
And hands-on application, Jeff, right? Andy, I think your building has really done this. So when I heard you say before problem-based or project-based learning, for those of us who don't pay attention to all that, we're really talking about what Jeff's talking about, right? What is going on in your building where a first grader or second grader gets to apply their learning through some kind of project? What are some examples of that happening at the primary level?
I mean, it starts with that. It starts with just a simple idea of interest in something that you had no idea. Maybe something's popping up that inspires a thought of what could potentially be, or where could a potential issue that may seem so small could lead to potential.
An issue in your community?
Correct. So you know, I think about our students who researched birds, who were struggling to figure out how not to run into our windows in our building, right? It sounds like a simple issue, but something that was real world concern for our students, and they dove into the topic of how can we protect the animals in our community, and they ran with it. And we are now a habitat for our native animals in our area. So something so simple, such a simple problem, became a really big learning experience that they could see right outside their window.
And we want our primary students to spend time learning about their community, their surroundings, that local environment, because that's part of their deep learning as they're going through their K-2 experience. So you guys are finding ways to tie that in with local partners. You're working with Green Acres. You're
Correct.
Bringing people together, like you said, experts, and the students can have an experience where they get some voice and choice.
Right, exactly.
Really important.
Yeah.
So Jeff, you've taken that then to another level. By the time they get to the high school, right, working with your partners, these individuals, you've had to rethink, right, what a student's schedule kind of looks like, what credit-bearing activities may look like in the future, how people use time differently for a student. High school's becoming a lot more like college used to look for a lot of our parents. How do you manage that with your staff as a leader to help children have these experiences? Because I think most parents think we drop them off at 7:45 or they go to school, they're coming home at 2:45, they're packing a bunch of classes in. How's it changed?
So, like any change, you have to make sure that you connect the why behind the activity. And not just connect it through our eyes as leaders, but connect the why in the eyes of our students. And connect the why with our teachers. And we've had the opportunity to talk to our students about what are the things in high school that they're looking most forward to, that either they've had an opportunity already or they're waiting for it. And experienceships, time and time again, continues to come up as something they're looking forward to. And so then connecting it with partners and the parents and the teachers to talk about, here's why we're doing this. We are able to develop students in a way that perhaps we've never been able to do before. And when you have folks on board, then the teachers are gonna rally behind that idea, and they're gonna help us build that opportunity. And then what that does is it allows us to approach, how do we schedule students? What does a flexible day look like for those students? What does credit bearing mean in school anymore? And or how does the opportunities that we're presenting for kids, how does this directly and or indirectly benefit them as they leave? Is this something that they can take with them? Was this experienceship something that springboarded them into a passion, a future career? Or was it the opposite? Did they think maybe they wanted to go in a particular field? They had an opportunity to give it a shot through 3-4 days, maybe a week, maybe several weeks. They realized, I really thought that was my calling, and I don't know if it is anymore. And how powerful is also that experience? But remember this. The story always wins. Those stories have to be told, so allow folks to see why we're doing this for students and staff.
And you have an amazing coordinator, Wendy Silvius, who's done so much to help further this new program over the last couple years. I think you've both been dreaming big and scaling it up. And I think that message you just talked about, when it's coming from multiple adults, not just mom and dad, it has an impact on students. How many adults are involved in helping now with experienceships and the big pitch and some of these leadership style content and programming that you've been working on? Like, how many staff are involved now, Jeff?
You know, it's interesting. I remember when you and I first had this conversation several years ago of what this could be, and I got all excited, and I said, Kirk, I'm going to get X amount of partners by the end of the year. And you said, Jeff, just get one and do it really, really well. But again, because Indian Hill is who it is, when we threw this idea out to others and started to reach out and said, here's this idea we have, would you like to be interested? The number of adults that had said, we are excited, I don't know what this is, but I want to be part of it, just exploded. So right now we have over 40 partners that are directly connected to the Experienceship Development Program, meaning these are individuals that have said, this is how we're going to open our door for your students. We have over 20 to almost 36 mentors now. So working with partner organizations like the Foundation, who were integral in this as well, and then parents who have also said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to contribute, but I want to help. So you look at that, we have over 65 just parents and partners ready. In-house, between our staff leadership council, Wendy Silvius, who again has done a phenomenal job as a catalyst to all of this, and those that have worked in the big pitch, we have over 15 to 20 staff members that are indirectly or directly involved, whether that is helping to bring the conversation forward, connecting into their classroom, partnering with Wendy directly to bring partners into their classroom, and or saying, hey, you know what, my neighbor is a cybersecurity expert. I think you should tap on the shoulder and see if any way we can connect with them. And to be honest, right now, we just want to make sure that we're able to bring as many students to the table as we have partners.
Yeah.
Because it's about to explode.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, mm-hmm. the way this has gone, right? You knew you had a vision, but it takes a team to put it in place over time, and the team seems to keep growing.
Absolutely.
But then you have to work to sustain the team, and we have a lot of great, amazing partners and parent volunteers and our partner organizations, obviously, in this community. Andy, at your level, right, you hear that, and I'm sure it's motivational, inspiring, and then you're trying to craft activities and time use for children in a different way, but you guys have done some pretty strategic things with a couple of partners that I don't think everybody knows about, right? I think they think sometimes it's just Mr. Damadeo put a program together, but now we hear about how much is behind it. When people hear things like STEM designation and Ohio STEM Learning Network, what are we actually talking about in terms of partnership? Can you give us an example or two?
Yeah, I think it's when we're creating these experiences for students at our level, we want to make sure that we're bringing in experts who can really connect to what problem is potentially something we're trying to tackle. What's been going on in the district with construction, we've been able to partner with MSA. And through that, there's nothing that a primary student loves more than going out to the playground during recess time. So if we're in the idea of how are we going to reimagine what the playground should be, we were able to naturally partner with MSA. People who are going to be in our building frequently for other reasons are now connecting with students at a whole nother level. They get to see these experts not only in action when they're doing the work that they were doing, but they're connecting inside the classroom as well, which was really, really incredible. Again, we're partnering with universities like Xavier and NKU, who, you know, bring in student teachers who are, not only are we providing those student teachers an opportunity to learn and grow through the practices that we're doing, but they're bringing their expert knowledge as future educators with a wide range of just an impact K-2 that I think is really, really exciting.
I think that's a great example. And again, you're bringing in architects who are already here that we know we're going to have some time, and then creatively trying to intersect with children. And then those children are going to go home, have conversations with their parents about things they got to do with someone who's an expert in a field that maybe they were just introduced to. Maybe that they now, because they love to draw, they're going to think about a little bit differently over the next couple of years. I think at our elementary school about the food truck challenge, and I think about the stock market challenge. And so the idea now, gentlemen, is that we're looking at this holistically, right? And we're trying to identify these types of what I think we're really talking about is building leadership opportunities for students K-12 to become self-accountable, responsible citizens who we all know are going to graduate from Indian Hill and hopefully not just go thrive individually, but lead others. What are the concepts that are coming out of all of this work with project-based learning and STEM and experientships about this concept of leadership? Jeff, you've been diving into this for a couple years. Like, where are we going, K-12, in terms of articulating what leadership means to students?
I think one of the important things about leadership is oftentimes leadership is associated with a title alone. And whether you are 44 or you're 14, how do you redefine what it means to be a leader? And how do you redefine that, what it means to be a leader, not just as an adult, but as a student? We know this, as a dad as well. I want my own children to be able to lead and be a role model for others. So when I think about leadership beyond just the high school, that's what I look at as a dad. That's what I want my kids to be able to model for others. But to do that, we have to be intentional of how you're connecting the concept of leadership and what it means to be a leader. And so one of the things I'm looking very forward to is we have students that are involved in some really great credentialing experiences such as Leadership Excellence and Lean Six Sigma in terms of building their leadership skills, but more importantly, understanding what it means to be a leader. That a leader does not, leadership doesn't come with a title. Leadership comes with action, and that anybody at any time can be a leader. If you have somebody in your life that relies on you or is leaning on you for something, in that moment, you're leading. But I think too often we provide leadership titles or leadership positions, and we do not do enough job, excuse me, we do not spend enough time cultivating what it means to be a leader. And so I think about this leadership excellence concept and the classes, the student leadership team we've developed from a 9 through 12 perspective to really have a greater voice in the things that we're doing in our school, but more importantly in the future. And then how do we connect that to 6 through 8th graders, K through 5, and talk about leadership as really a tenet of becoming not just a kind person, but someone that's going to make a positive impact in somebody's world today, tomorrow, and in the future. And that's what leadership's about.
And the Braves have had a character education program in place that the Board of Education approved well over 5 years ago that I think was developed by community members, faculty members, and students mm-hmm. that I think everybody could be proud of. Was like kind of a baseline foundation of this conversation that goes back 7, 8, 9 years. And now here we are, right? And articulating that is really important. Leadership can look different, and then, as you said, Jeff, tapping different people to develop leadership skills becomes really important. When you think about that, Andy, at the primary level, how's that kind of get started at the granular level? Like, how do we get children to think about personal responsibility and behavior? What's it look like, and how does that align?
I think it's ingrained into our total mission of where we're going with our STEM work, in the idea that the four C's, communication, collaboration, creativity, critical thinking, is at the heart of what we are trying to build in our students. We were just at an AI conference the other day where leadership was the number one skill that companies are looking for. Right underneath that, you'll see four or five of the C's, right? So we're putting in those skills. We're also constantly thinking, what are things that are adults are doing in our building that we can have students lead and take ownership of. So we're building those, what they're calling durable skills, to make sure that they're ready to go to take, to take those four C's and leadership opportunities and expand it to not only their school day, but when they leave our building each and every day.
I can't think of anything more empowering, right, as a CEO or superintendent, to walk into a primary school and have the students feel a sense of ownership at that building level the way we might see at a high school, right? And I just did a podcast with two teenagers who I'm pretty sure feel like they're confident enough to lead themselves in their own building and space. And that's what I think anybody would want for students growing up and coming through a top performing public school district. But this sense of a K through 12 holistic picture of what services are going to be provided to your students as learners and what unique experiences that make them Braves and brave leaders is something we're going to continue to communicate about. I really appreciate both of you coming on the podcast today and explaining that. Leave me with this. Again, Andy, you work a lot of hours as an assistant principal. You're putting a lot of time and effort in with these partners. You're coming and going a lot. What's your go-to fix when you need that craving? Like, what's your favorite snack if you're going to pick?
like food-wise?
Yeah, food-wise.
Food-wise. Well, I mean, in a previous podcast.
You do eat, right? You do take time to eat.
Oh, I definitely eat. I eat too much. But, you know, Skyline is my go-to choice.
Are you like one of these Cincy regulars? Like,
I have a, it depends. If I'm eating in, I have, you know, it's a small three-way, two cheese conies, mustard, no onion. If I'm getting it to go, two Cholitos with spaghetti. That's my go-to.
Okay, so Ily guy here, you hear this, Damadale. There's no New York slices around, but like when you get your chance to go get a fix, where are you going?
So first, I will say, even as a transplant to New York, I actually love Skyline. So it's been a unique growth kind of trajectory for myself. But let's go back to that stereotypical pizza. Mm-hmm. When I'm in that fix, I'm craving New York style pizza, Goodfellas Pizza, Pleasant Ridge, nice. OTR. There's nothing close.
I know you guys put so many hours in, so you need to carb load at times, right? It sounds like you've got a couple good choices on the menu. I want to thank you all for your leadership and what you do and coming on the Edge of Hero podcast today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, we're out of here.